I was born in 1910 on a 40-acre farm east of the town of Carlton on what is now Exit 5 on the new, that's 175
or 275.
That's 275. And there was just my mother and father and myself. I was the only surviving child. I had two brothers, but they died in infancy. And I was my father's shadow. Everywhere he went, I went, from the time that I could probably walk. Because of my maiden name was Barnum, and at that time, one of the circus was P.T. Barnum. He was very famous in the circus, and they dubbed my dad Pete. And he was Big Pete, and I was Little Pete. Fish it off now. Yeah, I know, but you don't want my interjections. You don't want this down, do you?
Yeah, keep
going. Okay. And it was an old farmhouse, and like old farmhouses were, there was no heat, no electricity, no running water, and the roads were just atrocious. No cars, and we had everything that they raised on the farm. We had all the food we wanted. We never went hungry. It was never fancy, but we never went hungry because we had all kinds of fruit and vegetables, and the chickens, the pigs, done our own butchering, raised everything, and eggs. And one of the highlights of my life was on Saturday afternoon when my dad would go up to the mill at Carlton at Kelbaum Brothers and take in a load of grain and to have made into, not a load of grain, a few bags of wheat to be made into flour and some grain to be made into pig feed, and mother would have a crate of eggs. And we would hitch up the team of horses, go to Carlton and in the afternoon. And Dad would go over to the hotel and play pool or cards. And Mother and I would do the big town of Carlton, which consisted of one dry goods store and Mr. Sutherland's grocery store, and that is where we always ended up because we'd have to wait for Dad, and I would get tired and cranky, and Mother would put me to sleep on one of the counters that Mr. Sutherland had, and then finally Dad would come and we would go back home, and I would get an orange or a banana. And that, at that time, was a very big treat because we just didn't have those fruits. And probably some candy and maybe a few peanuts and an ice cream cone. We had a Mrs. Neitzer's ice cream parlor, and they had the old ice cream chairs and tables in there, and it was quite a popular hangout for the young folks. And then I was always helping my dad. I'd done very little for Mother. I wasn't that type of a girl. I didn't like housework. And don't really to this day, but I like outside work. I'd rather work outside in the garden and in my flowers and rather than being dusting and baking. But I always worked outside, and my uncle lived about 3 miles away on another farm, and I was always driving the horses when they were making hay, and because everybody always done their own work there. They didn't have the machinery that they have now. It was all done by hand. And I'm my dad was a supervisor, and at that time, that entailed a lot of leaving the farm, and I would do a lot of the dragging and the plowing and things that I could handle. And then always in the haying, I always helped with that, the mowing and the stacking. If they didn't put it in bales like they do now, or in silos and mulches, they put it up in the barn loft. And we had what they called slings later on, that you would put some hay on the wagon, and then you would put a sling, and then you would put another layer of hay in a sling. And then the object was that when you got to the farm, got to the barn, they hooked ropes on the ends of these slings, and then you would take the hay up in the mow or the loft of the barn with these slings. You would put a team of horses on one end with some ropes, and they would pull these slings up in the, and then you would trip them, and they would fall in the hay mow. And then the threshing, that was a big deal. Everybody helped everybody. They had the old threshing machines, and they would, about 20 people or farmers, kids, wives, would all come to your house, and you prepared food, and they ate it too. I tell you, they had to have it for an army, and they really ate. But that was a big deal. Of course, the water was a situation. You put big tubs outside, big wash tubs outside, and all kinds of towels and soap, and no bathroom. And of course, the farmers would all wash out there, and had to carry the water in pails.
Did you get it from the well?
From a well, yeah, we had a well. And then but it was another thing, the sanitary. Everybody is so afraid now that animals and people don't mix. But our horses, our well was right at our back door, and the horses and the cows came up there to drink, and we lived there for for ages. And I suppose maybe if it was done now, why it would be hot water or whatever. But and then the other water, the soft water that we used for washing dishes and for washing, that Mother used for washing, was in an old cistern, and we had just an old hand pump with a pipe to run out through a hole in the wall into the cistern, and you pumped it. It was, fortunately, that was inside, and we had a little old sink, and the stove was wood stove. And on the back of it, it had an oven, and it had what you called a reservoir. And you fill that reservoir with water, and if you were lucky, it did get a little warm, so that you did have kind of warm water. But it was such a small thing that it was always not adequate at all. And now, let me see, I was...
We'll keep talking about the stove, that's fine.
Yeah, and there was always wood. We had to cut our own wood, chop wood, and that was my job. Dad would chop it, and I always had to carry it in and see that the wood box in the back of the stove was full. And there was always an old pan sitting on top of the stove, too, that had water in it, and that you could quickly get some warm water. And she done all her baking and everything in this oven. She made good bread, pie, and then our meat, of course, was freshly killed. We had all kinds of that they could keep and cure. It was mostly hams. No refrigerators, no ice boxes. A little later on, And, of course, that was kind of a hard thing to get to, because to get the ice, unless in the wintertime, then you didn't need the ice, but you'd go and saw it out of the creek. But you would, somebody had an ice house, and he would store the ice, and you could go and I don't know how much, you had to pay a little something for it, or you took him a chicken or something, why, maybe he'd give you some ice. And, let's see what else. And then the school that I went to was just a... Did I mention this before?
No.
It was called the Reeves School, and it's just a one-room schoolhouse with a... The teacher would have to build her own fire early in the morning, and she would bank it at night the best she could in the furnace. And maybe in the morning there might be a few live ashes that she could put in a few kindling pieces and get the wood, or the, I don't know whether she, maybe she had coal. No, I think probably she just had wood. And we'd be all bundled up in our long-legged underwear and our galoshes and wool jackets and hoods and stuff, and about noon it would get warm in the school so that you could take off a few of your outer clothes, and all 8th grades in there. And of course there weren't that many children, probably about 20, maybe even not that many, but all grades though, and no kindergarten. And we played ball, and we had basketballs, but none of the play. Swings and slides and all that stuff, the tennis courts or anything like that that they have now. I don't think we even knew what tennis was. And at night, we didn't do anything. I had a swing, an old board swing, with a couple of ropes hung to the tree. And then Dad did buy what at that time was a kind of a white light. The old kerosene lamps showed such a yellow, dingy light. And they, salesmen came through the area with what they called an Aladdin lamp. And it had a mantle, and it was shaped more or less like the old kerosene lamps, but larger, and it gave a white light from this mantle. But it was a fragile thing, and it would get dark with soot, and Dad would have to burn it off, and he was the only one that could do it, because he was so afraid that Mother and I would break it, and if you did, why then you had to wait till you could have one mailed to you, because they cost so much that you never had a spare one on hand, that you just pop it in like you do our light bulbs now. And Dad would play checkers with me at night, or rummy. And the kids would get together, and we'd wade in the old creek that was about 0.5 miles from us. And in the wintertime, why, we'd skate. And then came the crystal radio sets. And they were quite a revolution. I remember the first program that was so popular in my day was the Red Apple Club. And everything kind of stopped for that. We had a headset. Just one person could listen, but Dad was mechanic enough that he divided the headset so that he would have a earphone and I would have one. And that was one big highlight, and everybody had those, and then even the neighbors would come over and listen to that. Of course, then we'd have to watch the neighbor listen to our heads or our radio set. And we're shut off in a few minutes.
So appliances, you didn't have really a lot of appliances?
No,
or anything like
no,
that.
There was no toasters or anything like that. There was just pans, pots and pans. And the heating, this should have gone in with the, talking about the kitchen stove, our living room, so-called
yes.
Living room.
Yes. Stove and living room, too?
Yeah, all stoves.
Big cast iron.
This was a upright, what they call, coal stove. And it used a different kind. It didn't use soft coal. It used hard coal. And it was an upright affair. And the doors and was isinglass. They were made out of isinglass. And you, they would get so covered with dirt that you would have to take a cloth and with the soot and the smoke from the coal, that you would have to take a cloth and. That was generally my job, to open the doors and kind of clean those things off. And then you filled it in the top. There was a sliding top, and you slid that out, and then you poured the coal in the top, and then it would work its way down to the fire. And it would last probably a day or so, depending on the weather, before it would have to be refilled. And then, of course, you had the ashes to take out. And they weren't done. We had a big walnut tree out in the middle of the yard, and that was a catch-all. The ashes was dumped there. If there was any wood, that was dumped there. If there was any broken implements or anything, it all got trudged around that old walnut tree. And it, of course, at that time I didn't think anything about it, but now I'd have that cleaned up and hauled away. But we didn't have dumps, and everything just sat around. It didn't bother anybody. You know, it bothers me now thinking of it more than it did at the time when I lived there. And as I was talking about the creek, we would at night, all the kids in the neighborhood would get together, and we'd have a big bonfire and skate, and then we'd have marshmallows, and we didn't have marshmallows. I guess maybe we did too. We had something that we used to kind of roast, and maybe that was later on. But anyhow, somebody would bring, we didn't have the pops that you do now either, but somebody would bring some cider and some donuts, and probably even, I don't know whether they drank coffee, I doubt it. I don't think coffee was as prevalent as it is now.
Tell me about your trips.
And then later on, when I was a little older, Dad would hitch up the horses. And I think probably at that time we had our old Model T Ford. I think when we went to Monroe, it wasn't the horses that we went. We went with this old Model T Ford.
A lot of them around, or were you one of the special
people? No, we weren't special. There weren't too many. There were probably four or five on our road. And our road, that was Egypt, the old Egypt Road. And that was the muddiest, ruttiest road in, I think, Monroe County. Part of it, until about a half a mile from our place, wasn't too bad. It was kind of part sand, and you could get through that. with the car. But from that part on down, it was just atrocious. And it was the stickiest old mud that there was in Monroe County. And I had a line of thought and I've lost it. When we had the old Model T, we would go to Monroe, and I think it was called the Monroe Piers. Anyhow, you went to downtown Monroe, and I don't know just where, of course, that's all changed now. And you took the streetcar down to this Monroe Piers, and it was kind of an amusement place.
Amusement, that's exactly what it was.
Amusement park. And we would spend a day down there, and of course, sometimes we, being kind of not very rich, we would always take our lunch. We didn't buy all the things that they had. We would always pack a lunch. Mother would probably kill a chicken and clean it and fry it up, and we'd have fruit and apples, and she'd make a pie or a cake or something, cookies. And everybody always packed a picnic lunch. They didn't.
They lived high.
They
lived high. It was always good.
And that was the highlight. But that only happened probably about once a month. And then we used to have family reunions. My land, everybody came. Of course, they didn't all rush in the house and sit around and watch television and drink beer. Everybody got out and you played ball and you played horseshoe and probably maybe somebody might have had a bow and arrow, an old homemade bow and arrow, I don't know. And but that was your recreation. And if there was a creek or a pond or something, you went wading or bathing, and if it was that kind of a creek or pond. But food, we had plenty of it. Not the kind that you have now. It's fast food, but it was a good old substance.
Well, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
That Model T with the roads being that bad, pretty bumpy ride, wasn't it?
Oh. It was terrible. You'd get stuck, and you'd have to be pushed. Your neighbors would come out and push. Yeah, that was just terrible. And there were just lots of times you just couldn't get out with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, it was just impossible. It was so rutted and tore up. And then it would, maybe somebody would take the team of horses. They didn't have a road commission. Bring their horses out with a drag or something and drag the ruts full, and you could go again. Let me see. I had something else I was going to tell you. We didn't have a post office and mail. We had a post office, but it was just where the mail was sorted, and we had mail carriers. And the one that we had was Mr. McCollum, and you got your mail, well, just whenever. If you didn't get it every day, you got it whenever he could get through. And
wintertime, the big blizzard.
That's right. There were just lots of times in the road he delivered it with a cart. And it was just a cart with one horse. And it had big bags on each side of the wheels, on the inside of the wheels. And he would have this filled with your mail. You know, that was a big deal when he would come. You all run out to meet the mailman, because probably you didn't get too many mails, only maybe some bill would come from where you'd sent for something to Sears and Roebuck or Montgomery Ward's through the catalog that you bought, the big parcel, and if you ordered something, and if you just waited very anxiously for it to come in anticipation. Not like you do now to go to the mall and have your choice of most anything that you want.
Tell me about the doctor's meeting house calls.
Okay. Well, they, I can remember the, I broke my leg, and I think my dad took me to the doctor in the horse and wagon, with the, because it happened in the hayfield, and I had a little dog at that time. Of course, I was always with the with my dad, and I had a little dog, and of course, to get out of the hot sun, he went under the wagon, the hay wagon, and I went under with him, and kid-like, I just put my foot or my leg down, and it just happened to be in the where between the spokes of one of the wagon wheels. Well, when the horses started up, they didn't know I was underneath the wagon, and when the horses started up, why, it just twisted me and broke my leg in two places. And I'm just sure that my dad just changed wagons and from the hay wagon and took me to the doctor, because at that time there was no ambulance or unheard of. And but the doctor would make house calls, and
you had a family doctor.
Well, at that time there was there were two of them. One was good and one wasn't worth very much. But when the one was busy, why, you were very glad to have the services of the other one. And they came in the horse and buggy too, or as I say, you generally took your child or whatever it was to them. And the hospitals were in Monroe, and you didn't get the care, and or they did to have the facilities, nor the medicines, nor the cures that they have now, all the high technique. And but you eventually you survived anyhow.
So the doctor was located in town.
Yeah.
What else was there?
Oh, let me see. I've mentioned the Mrs. Neitzer's ice cream parlor and Sutherland's grocery store, and the Kalbaum Brothers Milwan elevator. We also had a dentist, and the hotel, and then we used to have there was a show. I doubt if I got to go to that at the time. It was. Not it didn't last too long, and I don't think that it was later on that the show was here in what's now the old Oddfellow Temple. And we had the little fairs and the little all the graduations and everything. They were done on as big a scale as could be that the parents could afford. And of course, you didn't get the gifts or anything at that time. It was mostly something in the wearing apparel or something that you could use. Nothing that you really maybe wanted.
Well, we're running out of time. So you had the rougher childhood than people nowadays, but
oh yes, it was rougher. But I was a happy girl, and one of my assets was that I had a real good memory, and that's where I think I excelled in school, because I had a real good memory. And I was loved. My family loved me, my mother and father, and I loved them. And although I didn't have all the things that I have now, I had a happy girlhood, and at for the times, I think I was well cared for and happy.
All right. Thanks.